Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. You know, for there not being another professional game until Thursday, there certainly is a lot to talk about. So don't you ever, this is a warning for everybody, really. If you think there's nothing going on and you don't know what your two favorite sports guys are going to say, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're wrong, because there's always something to talk about. We're going to hit a little bit of everything. The Green Bay Packers, they go through the speed dating process of introducing some of their coaches. The Milwaukee Bucks continue to enjoy some relaxation. They'll play again on Thursday, but some news around the league there. And the Milwaukee Brewers, following up on something we talked about quite a bit yesterday, the signing of Mike Moustakas, and it was under the premise that we talked about how Moustakas would play third and Shaw would likely play second. Craig Counsell, however, yesterday at spring training,
we're going to explore Mike at second base is what we're going to do, because we have that's what we don't know about. You know, at some point we would have to make a decision. Basically, what happened is Travis did a really nice job there. You know, we ended up not exploring Mike at second base. Now we're in spring training. We have time to do that.
So yesterday I was not as on board, we'll say, with the signing as everybody else, because I was worried about what it would do to Travis Shaw. That Travis Shaw is kind of getting jerked around. He's got to go back to second. He thought all offseason he'd be back at third. He said all the right things. I'm telling you, having Moose play second and Shaw plays third, that makes me feel better about the situation.
Not me. You know, although Shaw, even though, as I mentioned in the update there, good morning, by the way, he was up for a gold glove last year. You know, I just, Moustakas to me, I look at him and I see third base body. I see a guy who's got a third base body to him, and, you know, turning the double play, I mean, as a second baseman, man, you got to be able to turn the double play, and you got to be able to have a lot of range over there at second base. You don't have to have quite as much range, I think, at third base. You have to have some, but those balls at third base, they're hit like a bullet to you, right? You know, they're mostly hit right to you, and you got to make some quick stabs and all that. And I think you have a bulldog over at third base, and that's Moustakas. Shaw, about 6'4".
Yeah, are you confusing the two bodies?
Okay.
Moustakas is 6 feet, 215.
Yes. No, he's...
Shaw is 6'4", 230.
Well, no. Moustakas is about 225. Moustakas is about 6 foot.
Did you weigh him personally?
Moustakas is about 6'5", 6'2", 225. 6'2", 225. Where did you see 215?
ESPN.
Okay.
Where do you see 225?
Baseball Reference. I saw 225.
All right. What do the Brewers say?
I don't know. I looked at Baseball Reference. He's about 225.
All right. Let's say they're the same exact weight. Shaw's 4 inches taller. Moustakas is not 6 feet. I'll tell you that right now.
What's that?
He is not 6 feet.
Yeah, I think Shaw has got a better body for second base than Moustakas. I'd rather have Shaw. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Moustakas to play second base. I would rather have Moustakas. Now, the reason why is Shaw has been so good over at third base, they don't want to switch him out. They'd rather not switch him out of there. But if they feel Moustakas are going to give him an experience, if he can play second base with his and turn the double play and get into the hole. I mean, can you see Moustakas ranging into the hole, making terrific plays? I mean, neither one is a terrific option for second base. But of the two, I like Shaw better at second base than Moustakas. But I think what they don't want to do is move Shaw, who's really good over at third already.
If that's what you can't see, it's because you haven't seen it. Because you haven't, you've physically seen Shaw over there, so your mind thinks you know what it looks like, and you don't know what Moustakas looks like because you haven't seen him there. Chuck, Moustakas is smaller than Shaw.
Yes.
So that can't be.
Well, he's shorter.
Argument.
He's shorter, but he's more stockier. And I think Shaw's probably got a little bit more range than.
I mean, whatever Moustakas. Baseball Reference says, whatever ESPN says, you have too. Been in the locker room with these guys. Shaw is a bigger guy than Moustakas.
Yes, but having more range. I think Moustakas has got, he doesn't have the range I think Shaw has for second base.
Well, we'll find out in the next 6 weeks.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, let it play out. Well, I mean, they're going to give him a shot. And, you know, if Craig Counsell, anybody knows second base, it's Craig Counsell, who's played middle infield. His entire life, shortstop at second. So we'll let it play out. I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm just telling you from playing baseball my entire life.
Okay.
I know
you're
a second.
Gonna go there?
Okay. Well, no, I'm telling you. Okay. I know what a second base body looks like, and I think that Moustakas, I don't see a second base body there. But we'll see. We'll see if he's able to play it.
Like, if I'm wrong, with him playing second base, then that's fine. I mean, you're entitled to every opinion you have.
Of course.
But if you're going to tell me Moustakas is a bigger guy than Shaw, I can't.
Well, No. I said more range. Moustakas is stockier than Shaw. Shaw's taller. But, you know, Moustakas, look at Moustakas' build. I mean, for power, look at the build Moustakas has got. Look at the arms on Moustakas. Much stronger than, much more of a stocky build than Shaw. Shaw might be taller, but Moustakas is a rock. He is a rock, man. He delivers a punch, a power. So, but I think Moustakas probably sees it too, that if he moves to second base, because he's not getting any takers over at third base in the free agent market for whatever reasons, maybe if he moves to second base, he's a little better option in the free agent market because nobody's taking him at third base these days.
Craig Counsell speaking to the media yesterday down in Arizona, whatever the hell they're calling it, American Family Brewers Park or something. He says he's been in communications with Mike Moustakas for a couple of weeks now, that Mike knew this was going to be a possibility and actually a likelihood if he were to sign here. And they've got time, as I mentioned, because it is spring training.
Yeah, and so we never really, it didn't make us, you know, we considered it for about 3 or 4 days, and, you know, we probably strongly considered it, really, but it was, we just ended up not doing it because Travis did a nice job. And so, you know, I don't think we're going to see some, you know, something that we don't completely expect, but I think it's worth it in spring training to just this is what spring training's for. You know, we're definitely going to look at players at different positions, and this one's a plan that we really had about 8 months ago that we actually do right now and have some time to do.
So they thought about doing it again last year. They put Shaw there first. He did fine, so they stayed with it. This year they're going to try Moustakas at second in spring training, right? I don't care if these guys, you know, I don't care if Ryan Braun's pitching, whatever they want to try, or playing short, whatever you want to try in spring training, well, games don't count.
Well, of course, and you got 6 weeks to practice. I mean, to try Moustakas at second base last year during a pennant race would have been foolish. I mean, the Brewers took some heat for playing Shaw at second base.
Right, that was
during
foolish,
a pennant race,
but it worked out. Right.
It worked out, yeah. And, you know, the fact that I did play baseball, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, you're making a big deal. I mean, you said playing the baseball card. You played Little League. We played baseball. If you play baseball, you understand certain body types and all that who play second
Ruben
base and third
tweets
base.
Tweets in, if Chuck thinks him playing baseball's entire life counts, then I should be an NFL coach.
No, but I mean, I think you're able to judge what type of body sets play second base if you played baseball. Just like you know the body types of an offensive lineman who play offensive lineman, or a difference between a wide receiver and a tight end, or a defensive lineman and a linebacker. I mean, Rubesy, you're taking that a little too far there.
All right, can I be real with you? Since being real is like the latest
thing we're doing.
Sure.
Being entirely truthful.
Yeah.
It's not the fact. All right. Then, and whether you take this as advice or not, I hope you do, but you don't have to.
Advice from your own man. Okay. Go ahead.
It's not. See, that was rude. It's not the fact that you've played baseball and you might have, like, you've played basketball, you've coached basketball.
Sure.
Every affiliation you've ever done in sports helps you understand the sports that you see.
Yes.
Right? And so in playing football, that's why sometimes I say playing Madden helps you learn football, and playing basketball. We've all had our experiences that help us understand the best we can the games we watch.
Yes.
But when you say it, it sounds douchey.
Oh, I don't care.
I'm just telling you.
If anybody who takes it that way, I'm saying anybody who's played baseball understands. No, it is. Having played baseball, I get it. Yeah, if people take it that way, I don't care.
If you're going to talk about Giannis and the Bucks, and then we're giving our opinions on the Bucks, and it's like a good 20-minute conversation, and then all of a sudden you blurt out, I played basketball. I know it's hard to shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to roll their eyes at you. That's just, you don't say it.
Oh.
It sounds very.
Thanks for the advice, Bart.
I don't know why you're not taking it.
No.
Or why you think it's
poor. I just said playing basketball, playing baseball. I mean, I think anybody who's probably listened to the station has played some sports and understands.
Right. So when you say it to, like, make yourself on a pedestal, everyone rolls their eyes.
I'm not doing that.
I'm just telling you the perception. And you can think that I'm just, like, attacking you.
Yeah.
You can think whatever you want. I am not. I am trying to help. I don't know why you don't see that. I am trying to help you.
Well, thanks for the help, Bart.
Well, that is not. You're not taking it.
Well, no, I'm not. Because it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be condescending. I'm just telling you.
I know wasn't meant to be. I'm telling you it is.
Well, that's too bad.
All right. Okay. I tried to help. Everyone, it's on record that I tried. The next time Chuck says I played baseball and he gets killed for it, remember this day that I tried to help.
So if you say I played soccer and you refer something to soccer and I've never played soccer, I'm not supposed to take offense at that?
Right. It's douchey if I say it.
Okay. Anyway, back to this position. They're going to give it spring training. Yes, 6 weeks to do it. And if it works, great. If Moustakas could play second base, fantastic, man. If he's able to turn a double play and get into the holes and be athletic out there, that's wonderful, man. But I just don't see Moustakas having a second baseman's like body.
A caller just called in and said, I don't want to come on air, but tell Chuck to punch Bart in the mouth.
Oh.
How? I'm just trying to help. Why can't I just try to help?
Oh, we need to move forward here. We need to move forward. Did you want? Maybe it's the Badger basketball game that got us to a tough start today.
We're not off to a tough start. Well, I legitimately tried to help you, but whatever. You didn't take it that way.
Anyway.
Fine.
As we said, we got a lot to cover, too. Here we are, middle of February.
Chuck, I've played team sports my whole life. I know what it's like to understand conflict.
Awesome.
See how douchey that sounded?
That you, from you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. But as you said, we got a lot to cover today. Middle of February. And there's, usually we're kind of struggling for stuff, but we already got a little drama with the Brewers. Not drama, but with the position switch and Moustakas coming in here late. The Badgers, the coaches talked to the media yesterday. I don't know what we really got out of that, but there's some stuff with the coaches being introduced to the media. And the Bucks, man, the Bucks don't play until Thursday. Now, you said there was some more tampering going on. I did not hear anything about that.
No, that was just a tease. I want to talk about the Giannis Warriors speculation at 7 o'clock with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear anything about that. Now, that's news to me.
There was an article written yesterday from one of the Warriors beat writers with The Athletic, and Bucks fans are pretty upset.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I have not heard that.
I told you about when I was watching that All-Star game, I said, if Steph Curry gives Giannis one more alley-oop, he needs to get fined for tampering, because those two, there's a chemistry there. You can't deny there is a chemistry between Giannis and Steph Curry. And so some people watch it and think, hey, maybe connect the dots. And if you're a Bucks fan, you think connect the dots. Let's find a way to get Curry here. Curry's contract's a lot longer, so it's more realistic that if one of the two guys is going either place, and I'm not saying it's realistic, I'm saying what's more realistic is that our guy would go over there. So there was an article written about that, and Bucks fans are upset. But we'll do it sort of lighthearted at 7 because that highlight, that bounce pass, that Steph to Giannis bounce pass, not only do we have that for you in English, we've got it in Arabic, Greek, Spanish, and Mandarin.
I didn't realize there was that many broadcasters calling the All-Star game.
Well, yeah, dude. It's like the WWE pay-per-views when they have a bunch of guys from different languages.
Yeah. I mean, but they don't have 7. They have like 2, right? Or 3? Don't they have like the English
version? WrestleMania, they go down the road. They show like every country. They're all there.
Japanese?
Yep, Japan's there.
Wrestling's huge in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, they've got their own stuff.
They almost take it more. They take it like more seriously than they do in the United States.
Well, Japan takes a lot of sports more seriously. You ever watch a baseball game in Japan?
Yeah.
They're chanting like it's a soccer game. And I wish we kind of did that here instead of just going and sitting on our hands and, you know.
But wrestling, they take it
at our phones.
Like wrestling, the results are in like the newspaper the next day. And they're on the newscast at night. The actual wrestling results of the matches. That's how they take it over there.
Just some quick reaction on Twitter. The Boat 34 says, Bart, you did try to help, but it was in a douchey way. We can come to a common understanding on that. I can see that. Caleb says, Chuck being real without Bart last Friday may have been the downfall of the morning show.
Why?
I don't know. That's what he says.
Okay.
That's what he says when you opened up Friday about all your feelings.
Oh, I didn't do it 100%, though.
If nobody heard that, Friday, 9 o'clock hour podcast.
Yeah.
You almost have to hear it to continue with their show. Because it's weird. No offense.
How is it weird?
It's a sports talk show. You're talking about a relationship for a half hour.
15 minutes. Well, people, we've gone on worse topics. And tougher topics.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We will talk about those Packer coaches. If you heard from them, if you saw them, it's just weird, man. It's a different vibe when you have no Mike McCarthy up there and Mike Pettine is the elder statesman of this operation. We'll hear from those guys coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I'm going to do my part. I know I need to be in that room, especially as much as I possibly can. I am going to be the play caller. I think that relationship between the play caller and the quarterback is absolutely critical. So I will be in there as much as I can. I don't foresee ever missing a quarterback meeting.
That's Packers coach Matt LaFleur, which is still odd to say. Matt LaFleur talking yesterday to the media. Nathaniel Hackett talking to the media. Mike Pettine at the podium. The special teams coordinator, whose name is Sean Menega? What's his name?
Meninja?
Meningitis?
Something like that, yeah. You know, these. It just seems...
Let's just call him not Zook.
Yeah, anything was better than Zook. This whole staff, it's just a complete different feel from the previous staff in that it seems like such much younger guys who are coaching these guys. At many of his positions. There's, you know, like Pettine's the holdover, but all these other guys, I mean, young guys, young staff, and they're going a whole different direction in that area. And that's the way the NFL seems to be going. Younger staffs and all that, I'm fine with that.
Well, LaFleur is 39. The offensive line coach went from James Campen, who's been here for like 15 years, played here. He's only 35. Hackett is one of the older guys. I think he's in his late 30s, or what is he? He's
something like that, yeah.
Maybe in his 40s. Yeah. No, I mean, even the assistants are in their 30s. Everybody's young, and they said a couple different things. I mean, the takeaways, if you're trying to digest what they said, and Mike Clemens will do a good job with this at 9:20 when he joins us this morning. He was there. The takeaways are, yeah, we want to run the football a certain way. We're all going to work with Aaron. We're going to make sure we're on the same page, right? I don't think there's anything too groundbreaking. There's a change with the strength and conditioning where Chris Gizzy has taken over and Lavad is now the assistant. He's been in charge for the last 10 years.
Yeah, they flip-flop.
He's the assistant. And apparently it was Lavad's idea.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the news for those really in-depth into what the staff looks like. But other than that, it's, yeah, we're going to work with Aaron and, you know, we want to try to win and all that kind of stuff. I think the takeaway for me was the feel of it. It's going to take a while to get used to not seeing Mike McCarthy up there. Mike McCarthy, you know, he wasn't the coach, the longest coach of all time. 13 years is a long time. There's been guys that have held positions longer, but McCarthy was just such a presence at the podium, and he developed that over time, but he was no nonsense. You know, he controlled the room. He was the man in charge, and you knew that everything ran through him. LaFleur, when you see him up there, and it's so early that the judge might be unfair, when you see him up there, it's almost like he doesn't even think he should be up there.
Well, I mean, all these guys come in, whether it was Mike Sherman, and when Sherman was introduced, he had a very serious tone out there. Mike McCarthy came across as a very friendly guy. And, of course, by the end of it, or a few years into their tenures, they'd have begin to develop a little shell, and when you start asking them questions and all that, they become a little defensive when you ask them questions. And along the way, LaFleur is going to feel the same way, probably, as he gets a little hardened into this NFL system as a head coach. Same thing. You know, he's very friendly up there, and yeah, he doesn't have the presence that McCarthy or Sherman or some of those older guys, or even like Holmgren had, even though Holmgren was in his early 40s, too. It's just a different look for the Packers, it seems. Even though LaFleur was only a couple of years younger than maybe McCarthy or LaFleur, he seems like he's so much younger.
Right, and in 5 years, let's say he's still the head coach, we'll be able to take things that he says and then compare it to things he's saying right now, and we'll think, wow, sounds like a completely different guy. But for now, he still seems, I don't want to like dissect this too much, but it does seem like he's almost a little unsure that he's supposed to be there. Is that just what I'm getting? Are you getting that?
He doesn't have that presence because he doesn't have that, you know, a guy, he hasn't owned these press conferences so far. He hasn't got up there and had a presence and dominated them and, you know, make, because when you, the head coach up there, you want to feel like this guy's in charge. This guy's the man. There ain't no messing around with this guy. And you kind of got that with Sherman and McCarthy and Holmgren, even Ray Rhodes when he was introduced, but you don't get that really with him. I mean, you see him on the screen and you're like, okay, is he a former player? Is he a player at the end of his career? Is he an assistant coach? He doesn't, when he walks into the room, he doesn't have this presence that these other guys have had.
You see him on the screen and he looks like the guy who's adjusting the mic before the coach is coming out to talk.
Like a media relations assistant.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. And a part of it could be because the staff is so young, which Matt LaFleur says is going to be a benefit to the Green Bay Packers.
I think we're going to bring a lot of energy every day. And I think we'll be able to connect and reach our players. And I think they're all great, high character guys. You're going to get to know these guys. You will not see egos. And these guys are going to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And I think our players will appreciate that. And they'll be excited when they get to meet these guys moving forward.
Yeah, a guy who I ran into yesterday, older guy. I think he looks at, and maybe this is one of those things where it is how he's looked at. Hey, what'd you think of that new young guy, the new young coach of the Packers? Couldn't name his name. People, I still think, don't know his name. But the new young coach of the Packers. I said, well, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, give him some time. Let, you know, it sounds like he's going to want to run the ball a little bit more than maybe the other coaches want to do. You know, he's going to bring in that Rams 49ers philosophy, that Shanahan philosophy in here. Run the ball a little bit more. We'll see if that happens. But, yeah, I mean, the proof will be wins and losses, obviously, and how the team does. You know, we look at him right now, and we're a little skeptical maybe about how he is and his presence and all that, but he'll get his feet under him a little bit, and we'll see if this is, we'll know in due time whether this was a good hire or not.
Right. Way too early to judge the tenure of Matt LaFleur. All we're going off right now is 25 minutes of press conferences, and he only talked for a total of 12 of them because there was 10 for himself yesterday and then just the two that he got when he was up there for an hour with Mark Murphy about a month ago. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll hear more from some of the guys that talked yesterday. I want to bounce this off you. I got a head coach vibe from a different guy that was up there talking yesterday that was not Matt LaFleur. We'll see if you felt the same way. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. This is, I believe, the final weekend. I don't have that for sure because it's available for a limited time and they have not told me how long it lasts. The speculation that I got was through February, which would mean this is the final weekend. So if you're going to get out and enjoy Bart's Breakfast Bonanza at Perkins, you're going to want to do that this week and then into this weekend where you can get three eggs, four pieces of meat, whether it's the sausage or the bacon, the hash browns, and four pancakes, all that food together for just $6.99. That's it. Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, ask for it at any greater Milwaukee area Perkins location. Four pancakes, three eggs, four pieces of meat, the bacon, or the sausage, and then the hash browns. You get that all for just $6.99. If you do go today after 4, they do this every Tuesday and Saturday. Kids eat free after 4 o'clock when you get a meal. So you can get that Breakfast Bonanza for dinner, and then your kid gets a free kids meal because you've got a meal. They do that every Tuesday and Saturday. We'll go back into 1265, that Packers auditorium. Somebody else giving off that head coaching vibe. We'll hear from him next.
Right now, it's like I'm a Green Bay Packer. I mean, it's like you sometimes sit back and you walk in this place and the office is in Lambeau. You're like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. So I think that the opportunity that Green Bay has given me is unbelievable. And I'm so thankful for that. And I just want to go back up there and work on football right now.
That's Nathaniel Hackett. That's the Packers offensive coordinator talking yesterday. Really, the first time we got to see him, Matt LaFleur talking. He's the Packers head coach, by the way. Mike Pettine talking at the podium. And not Zook is what we're calling the special teams coordinator until we properly get his name right. A lot of the assistant coaches talking as well a little bit later. Again, we'll hear from them. 9:20, Mike Clemens will join us with the latest, our embedded Packers reporter. I kind of got a head coaching vibe from Nathaniel Hackett yesterday. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I mean, not in that comment right there, though. I mean, that comment was like he was just like happy to be in Lambeau Field.
He sounded there like he was taking a tour, but
yeah.
Throughout the rest, I liked his demeanor, and even though every answer reverted back to "I'm just here to help Matt," "I'm just here to help Matt," "I'm just here to help Matt," which he is. I mean, when you're an offensive coordinator, what do? When you're not calling the plays, he is there to help Matt. They say that they're doing the, is it weird that the Packers coach is named Matt? I can't get over that. Okay, so they're already doing the playbook. They're putting that together and everything. But I kind of like the impression I got out of Nathaniel Hackett yesterday.
Well, he's been around a little bit. I mean, he's was with Jacksonville, Buffalo, but as recently as 2012, he was an offensive coordinator at Syracuse. Not exactly a college football juggernaut. But, I mean, he's had some offensive quality control jobs, which is a low-level job in the NFL, the quality control job. And, yeah, he's he's kind of risen quickly in the NFL from going from a quarterback coach with Syracuse in 2010 to an offensive coordinator with the Bills in 2013. So, fast riser, as we say.
He got fired in Jacksonville last year. That didn't go well. They went to the AFC Championship game a couple years ago, but was kind of the scapegoat for an offense that sputtered with Blake Bortles reverting back to earth and Leonard Fournette not being able to go anywhere in year two of his career. But Nathaniel Hackett, again, he is the offensive coordinator. He will not be calling the plays, but that's another voice that Aaron Rodgers is going to have. So you're going to have Aaron Rodgers now in these QB meetings that LaFleur talked about, listening to Matt LaFleur, listening to Nathaniel Hackett, listening to Luke Getsy, our dear friend Luke Getsy, and that's going to be a lot of voices in his head. It's important. Hackett says that they're all on the same page.
I think we all know, Luke, myself, Matt, we all know it's about one voice. I mean, there's so many times that if you get mixed messages to anybody on the field, it's not just about Aaron, it's anybody. You know, really my whole job is to make sure that everybody's speaking the same language. Everybody's saying the same thing. That's so important. You can never give mixed messages because these guys were expecting to go out in front of 70,000 people and execute. They have to know exactly what we're expecting from everybody.
Yeah. You know, as an offensive coordinator, he hasn't had a lot of great quarterbacks to work with. E.J. Manuel, Thad Lewis, Blake Bortles. There haven't been a lot of terrific quarterbacks. This is the best quarterback he's ever worked with Aaron Rodgers. Much better than any of the other quarterbacks. So, he's never really had the opportunity. He's never really had an offensive team to work with as a coordinator.
That's going to be what's interesting is that, and Mike Lombardi talked about this from The Athletic when we talked to him this week on the show. With Mark Murphy, he looks at Mark Murphy and thinking, when you're in charge, you want to stay in charge. What do? You get guys under you that are like subordinates, that are inexperienced, that are young, so that you can still wield that power. There's an unspoken power, you know, when you're there's a very spoken power when you're the boss. But then when you hire guys that are inexperienced, okay, there's almost more power because they haven't done it before and you kind of reign supreme over them. So that's the front office situation. With guys like Hackett and LaFleur now coaching Rodgers, what they've coached in the past are guys a lot younger than them, just as a quarterback, guys that did need the coaching, guys that really haven't won anything. I mean, you mentioned some of those names there. It's different to coach J.P. Losman than it is Aaron Rodgers. You're almost coaching up instead of coaching down. Like, you are assumed in every situation you're in charge. He's got to look into your eyes, right? Because you're the coach and he is the student. You're the teacher, he's the student. But with Rodgers, guy's a two-time MVP, guy's a Super Bowl champion. Yeah, these guys are a few years older than Rodgers, but Rodgers is going to wield the authority in that room.
Well, because those other guys haven't learned the NFL game and Rodgers has been there. He's been in every type of situation. He's won a Super Bowl.
Right.
There's a big difference. Yeah. So, I mean, there's much bigger. Yeah. The experience of what Rodgers has gone through and lost tough playoff games and won big playoff games. And those other guys were the J.P. Losmans of the world, if he even coached him. Those guys had never done anything. Maybe won a bowl game in their life. That's about it. But this is a much different situation coming with coach Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and LaFleur's been around the block in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's not like he doesn't know the NFL game.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers also has the advantage of, look, this is his home. This is where he's been for, 14 years. He knows how the Packers operate. He's just, when you walk into that meeting and you BS, when you sit down in a meeting, you BS for a little bit and then your boss is like, all right, this is what we need to do. Who's the first one kind of saying, all right, this is what we need to do? So, I mean, it might be Rodgers. Right now, I think that Rodgers has the kind of the, what's the word you were saying before? The
experience?
Not the experience, but when you go to the podium, now I feel like we're playing pyramid. The stature, something like that.
Presence?
The presence. He's got the presence there in that room over these guys, and we'll see how long that lasts. Thank you.
Yeah, he's got the presence. But, you look at Hackett. I mean, Hackett's dad, very accomplished. And we'll see if this guy's a chip off the old block, as they say. I mean, his dad, former coach at USC, coached Joe Montana as the quarterback coach in San Francisco during those Bill Walsh years. So, maybe they're trying to recreate the same thing with his son. The dad coached Montana. And the kid is now going to coach Aaron Rodgers.
Do you want to hear what Luke Getsy sounds like?
Sure.
We've talked about him so much.
I feel like we've heard from him like years gone by in passing.
We've heard Mike Clemens talk about him a lot. Luke Getsy. But I don't know if we've ever heard from Luke Getsy. So this is Luke Getsy, former receivers coach, went to the college ranks. He's back in Green Bay. He is the quarterback coach, familiar with Aaron. Says he still has to earn Aaron Rodgers' respect.
You know, when I just walked into a new situation in Mississippi State, you got to earn people's trust before, show them how much you care before they're going to care about you and want to do well for you. So I think that phase is probably going to just happen quicker, naturally, right? Being here for 4 years and creating a relationship. So that part of it, you know, makes the transition much easier. But
that's Luke Getsy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
for some reason, I thought he'd sound more like an elf.
When he was here the first time, I remember Mike Clemens talking about Luke Getsy, but he talked about Getsy being a fast riser. And it was no joke either. He said Getsy was considered one of those fast rising coaches in the NFL, and then, you know, went to the college game for a little while, and now he's back again.
Right. And you can say that quarterback coach, how high on the ladder is that? But he was brought in specifically for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good achievement for him.
Someone that maybe Rodgers is familiar with from days gone by. A young guy, too.
That's what we've got on the coaches. I mean, we'll talk to Mike Clemens again at 9:20. I don't know what more they said that's, like, pertinent.
No, I took away, though, that...
I thought Mike Pettine looked like he was bored, but...
Yeah.
Annoyed to be there.
Pettine told... You know, he said that when somebody asked him about, you know, that he's going to be a leaning board for the head coach. I'm sure Pettine wanted the head coaching job, but, you know, he's remaining as the defensive coordinator. But he said that he'd be a sounding board for the head coach, LaFleur. He said, I'll tell him all the things that he shouldn't be doing as
right,
a head coach.
Because of how bad he was with the Browns.
Yeah, or everybody. Just not him, but just how bad everybody was with the Browns.
Here's Mike Pettine.
You know, the good thing is that what I bring from my experience in Cleveland, I have a real thick book on what not to do, so I can kind of steer them clear of some of the pitfalls of being a first-time head coach. We've had meetings and we've gone through some things, and he's asked me direct questions on, you know, how have you done it before, or if there's something I see that he's working on that I've had some experience with or might have a suggestion or something that I've been a part of in the past that's been helpful, I'll bring it up. You know, working relationships so far has been very smooth.
Which are somebody should have brought up, Matt. Mike, what are some of the things you shouldn't do as a head coach that you learned from?
But nobody, I think you could, no, we'll just go watch him with the Browns. They sucked.
Yeah, well, yeah, but what did he do? I mean, what actually did? Yeah, they're terrible. They've always been bad, but until this past year. But what were some of the things? How he handled situations? How he dealt with management? What were some of the real things that he did that were bad that didn't go over that he would have done differently maybe a second time around?
I think he was more making a joke.
Oh, well, there probably was some things that he did poorly, too, as we all do in our first job.
Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Are you guys awake yet? I know that game put you to sleep last night. We'll talk some basketball next.
Coming up! So just settling in and playing Wisconsin basketball and playing at our pace. In the second half, we got a lot more back cuts, got a lot more attacks against the pressure. And when you get to the rim, you get to the free throw line, those are much easier baskets than when you're shooting a lot of three-pointers, which we were settling for in the first half. Good looks that we'll make, but we'll make moving forward, definitely. But when you get to the rim, it's a lot higher percentage there.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Today is, oh, that's what that guy sounds like, Day. We just heard from Luke Getsy for the first time, Packers quarterback coach. That's Brad Davison, as the Badgers win last night 64-58. They were in an offensive slump. Yes, they were. Just 6 points for the first 12 minutes. Started 3 of 17 shooting. I say this every time we talk about the Badgers, so I'll say it again. It is the only time this job feels like work when I watch the Wisconsin Badgers.
There's sometimes when Wisconsin, they have like, I feel like one game a month where they look just absolutely terrible to watch. Just brutal. Some might say it's all the time. They don't like watching it, but God, last night was one of those games. Just terrible. They had a team that came in here who wasn't very good, who had been playing well, and God, was just awful. Had they played that game on the road at Michigan, they would have lost by 25 points last night.
Just got a tweet in here that I thought the Badger game was very exciting last night from Big Easy. Love seeing the Badgers respond to a really tough and aggressive defense. You know, that's what the Badgers do. If you were at that game last night, it was probably really thrilling because the Badgers, they're a 10-point favorite against this team that they should beat, but they're just like not figuring it out, and the first half sucks, and then the next 10 minutes aren't fun. But then those final 10 minutes, you know, it's a game, so good for the Badgers for providing entertainment to those in attendance.
Oh, but it was horrible, though.
I was bored to tears.
It was. I don't see any entertainment value. You have to sit your star player in the final 4 minutes because – Guard says it's because that he was turning the ball over. Obviously, and he's not going to mention free throws. He didn't mention that Happ is a poor free throw shooter. I can't have him in the game, but obviously that plays a part in it. But Happ couldn't shoot, couldn't catch a cold last night. He was terrible.
Yeah, you've been editorializing a little bit in your sports updates
yeah, he was
today,
bad.
My man.
Just too bad. He was bad.
So he doesn't play the final, what, 4:11 or 4 minutes
something
or
like
so?
That. Yeah, 4 minutes, 6 seconds to be exact. But, you know, it looked like he was going to play. Guard wasn't going to play him because of his free throw shooting. Guard says it was because of the turnovers. It had to be. It had to be a combination that he didn't want to happen in a tight game at the end. And he gave someone else a run. He thought this might be a good lesson for Happ to, you know, straighten up. Happ just looked terrible. And there's been times when he does. Happ looks absolutely wonderful out there. And then, like the Michigan State game, man, some of the times he's handling the basketball and the bad footwork and turning the ball over and stumbling over himself. I don't understand it. You know, he's been in the program for 5 years. And free throw shooting aside, some of the bad turnovers he has, I don't get.
So Ethan Happ came out after his third turnover, and then he didn't go back into the game the rest of the game. And that's why, and you can say it's because of the turnovers. We would assume it. There's the free throw shooting is because of it, that, you know, if you're up a little bit, or either way, Illinois is going to try to foul Happ so that they can get the ball back because he's going to miss his free throws, or at least one of them. So that's why I didn't get the other game when Happ was sitting from, like, the 15-minute mark to the 10-minute mark with a few fouls. If he's not good for the final minutes of the game, you put him in earlier. What are you saving him for? You don't play Ethan Happ, your star, in a close game in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, well, you can if he can't make free throws. But who's gonna get buckets on that team?
That's the problem.
Who's gonna get buckets? So you need him to get buckets for you. But he, again, you know, down the stretch, teams are fouling. He's gonna go to the hole. You're not gonna get him. You would be an idiot. And teams have done this too. Just let him get to the hole, get a position under the basket, and don't foul him. Foul him every time. I don't get it why teams don't do that. Foul him. He's not going to make his free throws. You're a fool. You let the guy have a free lane to the basket or a layup. Just hammer him. Even if he makes the basket, he's not going to make the free throw.
So when you look first glance, if you just look at the box score from last night and you look at how many points they scored, Davison 18 and Iverson 16, Happ with 6, Reavers with 9, Trice with 7, King 2, Pritzel 6. You just look at those, and in my head, how does that even add up to 64? I can't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like it's going to add up to 64. I have to do that equation 5-6 times because two guys in double digits, Ethan Happ 6 points. King with 20 minutes off the bench, 2 points. I mean,
well, when Brad Davison is your leading scorer with 18, you think he got those in garbage time. Because your team got blown out or, you know, you're way ahead. But, I mean, 18 points. No, they were just terrible. As bad as it seems for the Badgers this year, they're still in a fourth-place tie in the Big Ten. Amazing.
Just give the Badgers a 5 seed so that they can be the 5-12 upset.
And they could get beat.
And end this season.
Yeah. God.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. No. Like, performances like that, they will get beat by a 12 seed.
Yeah. Bad.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. You loved how the Steph bounce pass to Giannis looked. You love how it sounded. But how about in other languages? And is Giannis to Golden State going to come a thing? Chuck and Winkler.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.